ask the Lord this evening.
It's good to be with you, dear saints here in Essex. Appreciate you very much. We have a great appreciation for Brother Doug and the work that he's doing for the Lord and how the Lord's using him. But we're very thankful for this congregation and their support and how you've been able to work together and continue on and spread the gospel to a lost and dying world and be an influence in this community. Brother Doug said, he hoped I enjoyed the message. Well, with the Lord's help, I hope to do that. This is a message that's very real to me. The burden of my heart for myself and for the church, for each one of us. I trust the Lord will be with us this evening and make it a blessing to all of us. If you would, we'll bow our heads and have a word of prayer before we begin. Dear Lord, it's just our desire to be used of you and to be a vessel of honor. We ask that you would anoint us, Lord, to be able to speak for you, that you would be glorified, that our hearts and minds and souls would be drawn to you and fed by you and instructed by you,
Amen.
That we might be what you would have us to be and be that light in the world around us that we need to be. Lord, we just want to give you all the praise and glory. We love you.
Amen.
We enjoy serving you, Lord.
Yes.
And we ask that you would be with us, each one here, in this remainder of the service this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I would like to read a verse from Galatians chapter 1 to begin with this evening. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I suppose there's a number of verses that I could draw on for somewhat of this thought, but Galatians 1 and 6 says that, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And not really looking to focus on the latter part of that so much as far as into another gospel, but the beginning thought of that thought that says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. And the thought that I would like to think about this evening is, entitled our thoughts for this evening, The Need for Revival. And as I was thinking about this thought, this verse came to my mind, and I just wanted to maybe introduce it. This thought a little bit with thinking about this verse. It expresses surprise. When you say I marvel at something, you express some surprise. It gets your attention. It seems unnatural.
Yeah.
It seems like something that's wrong or out of the ordinary. And it says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. And that caused me to think somewhat about human nature and the world that we live in and the need for revival. You know, we live in a world where things tend to decay. They grow old, they wear out. Consistent effort is required to maintain things.
Yep, amen. It's true.
There's people out working on the roads every year. They just, before long, they have potholes and bumps and problems. You got to repair them. You got to work on them. There's a consistent effort required just to maintain your house.
Yes.
You know, it just develops problems. You know.
Sure.
The doors don't close right. The air gets in. The shingles come off. Or so many things that happen. Everything takes maintenance.
Yes, amen.
Whether it's your house or a city or a relationship. The relationships in our life, they can very easily decay without some effort, without some time, without some focus. They require maintenance. you have a close friend, you know, people say, well, you have a best friend. So if you have a best friend, is that something that happens to you at 20, they're going to be your best friend when you're 40? They could be. But it's not automatic.
It's true.
Because things tend to decay if they're not worked on. Friends often grow apart, lose interest, or change direction. If you don't maintain that relationship, communicate, spend time together. You see that a lot of times in marriages. You know, the marriages that have problems in the world around us today, a lot of them aren't people that get married and 6 months later they say, you know, I made a mistake. A lot of people married 10, 20 years. Find out they can't get along anymore. What happened? That relationship deteriorated. That relationship decayed. It wasn't maintained. It wasn't worked on. And after a while, it got to the place where somebody didn't think that it could ever be restored or that it was worthwhile. Sometimes people see something like that happening and they decide to change the ways. They decide to revive it. So they put some effort forth. They start to spend some time, some energy, and they start to think about what's changed and what's going wrong. And they decide to reinvest time and energy in that and restore things. You hear sometimes about cities are going to restore the downtown. It's been neglected for years. It was once great and now it's run down. Yeah, put forth effort and we're going to restore. So my thought there is that there's something inherent in the world we live in and in human nature that tends toward a situation where there's a need for revival.
Amen.
And that might seem like a really obvious point, and you might think, well, Brother Doug, you really woke us up with something tonight. But I'd like for us to really think about this thought a little bit this evening, because one of the reasons that happens is because people don't see it happening.
It's true.
They don't think that it's happening to them.
Yep.
There's a lot of people, I mentioned marriages, there's a lot of people that are married a very long time and they just kind of thought everything was okay and all of a sudden fell apart. Maybe one person knew there was something wrong and the other one didn't. But those things happen. But we're talking about something that's reoccurred throughout human history. And I'd like to give you just a couple examples and thoughts from the Bible here this evening about some instances. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament, it's really easy to find examples. So I could spend a lot of time tonight just giving you instance after instance, example after example of what's happened to humanity, what they've experienced, how it's worked out. But I just want to draw your attention to the verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, because it exemplifies somewhat of this thought, I believe. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land."
Amen.
That's a beautiful promise. We can talk for a long time just about that verse this evening. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture.
Amen.
But it speaks to a thought that when he says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." Now, ideally that would already be the case.
Right.
But if they'll do that and they'll turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
Yes, amen.
And the story of the Old Testament is replete with examples of a people of God that had a testimony of God working in their behalf, of miraculously raising them up and establishing them and making them fruitful and prosperous and blessed, working the things of God and fulfilling His laws and His commandments and His teachings and living them out and passing them on to another generation. But very soon, something began to change.
It's true.
Something happened to them. They were prosperous. They were blessed. They were had everything that their heart would desire. They were dwelling in the approval and blessing of God. What changed? That from one generation to another, or to a third generation, vision was lost.
Right.
Complacency set in.
Yes, ma'am.
Ingratitude, self-indulgence, forgetfulness, spiritual weakness, leanness of soul. And before long, they forgot about the things of God.
Yeah, it's true.
They reverted to a state of unbelief, immorality, and the cycle of punishment, of need, of desperation, and of calling upon God. Finally, because their need and the pain was so great that they once again saw their need of God.
Yeah.
And you wonder as you read through the Old Testament, why did it have to be that way? Why did that cycle have to repeat so many times? And with a certain degree of regularity. And what can be done to prevent that? And it made me think about this need for revival. One other passage of Scripture I'd like to refer to, and this is in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing.
Yes.
Does that not make you think about the world we live in today?
It's true, absolutely.
And you can go back and you can look in the Old Testament times and think, you know, they were experiencing that same thing a lot of times.
Yes, amen.
I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing.
Right.
I have everything I need. I'm happy, I'm contented, I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. I'm part of the church of God. But that verse goes on and says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind.
Yes.
And naked.
Yeah.
And just to think about that a little bit, you know, if you read through the letters to the churches, this was not 500 years after Jesus came.
No, this is Jesus.
This was a short period of time. This was written by, Revelation was written by John. And if you read through the scriptures there, and the letters to those churches, and you think about what he said to them and what their situation was and what their needs were, it should be a sobering thing, because I don't think you should look at that and think, well, there must have been something really fundamentally wrong with those people. Glad we're not like that today. We don't have to worry about those things, at least. It's representative of something in human nature.
It's true.
It's representative of something in the way the world is.
Yes, ma'am.
And the tendency for the need for revival. A lot of these letters are basically saying, you need revival. There's a need for a revival.
Amen.
That's true.
And they're written to people that in many situations were unaware that they really had a need. Now, if we go back to our text of Scripture in Galatians there, I marvel that you're so soon. And I wanted to, as I thought about that passage of Scripture, I thought, you know, that should be a warning that we can't look at the need for revival and say, you know, we're in pretty good shape for my lifetime. I've been taught, I know the truth, I can rest in that, but I really hope that my children, you know, see their need for revival. It doesn't have to take a long time to need revival.
It's true.
The need for revival, I think, is a somewhat continual need.
Amen.
There's a verse in Proverbs that I think about now and then. In Proverbs chapter 24. Let's take a moment and read that. 24 and verse 33. I think I might tell my children this now and then. Says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And you might think, well, what's that have to do with the need for revival? But it's dealing with the fundamentals of human nature and the realities of how things happen. It doesn't take a lot of inattention. It doesn't take a lot of laziness. It doesn't take a lot of failure to continue on, to do the right things. So just a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Just relaxing. Take it easy. You know, I've worked hard. You know, it's just, it's time I can sit down. I just need to enjoy what I've achieved these last 5 years. We can't do that.
It's true.
We can't rely on the successes of yesterday.
Amen.
We can't just build our confidence in the past. It doesn't take long for things to change. It can happen really quick. So I'd like to just talk for a few minutes again, in addition to that, about some of the risks that we face. The risk factors that can make it where our need for revival can be greater. Because if you look at situations I talked a little bit about there in the Old Testament and some of the examples, there are some risk factors that I think can increase our need for revival. And unfortunately, a lot of the things that we really want in life and desire, I think, can become risk factors. One of the risks we face is prosperity. Why you got to attack prosperity? You know, what's wrong with that? I want to prosper. Don't you want to prosper? I want to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. There's nothing inherently wrong with the idea of prosperity. But there is the rich farmer tendency. You know, he had some success and he's, wow, look at this crop. Look at the abundance I have. I'm going to build some bigger barns.
Yep.
And what am I going to do? I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy this and I'm going to be able to relax. And that becomes if you look at it, that becomes a tendency to be risk averse. You don't need to take risk anymore because you already have enough for yourself. So all you got to do now is protect it. And we can become very risk averse. Somewhat of a turtle mindset, you know, just need to build a shell over it and protect what I have. You know, I've got some good things in life. I found the Lord. I just want to protect what I have.
Yeah.
So prosperity can be a risk factor in creating a need for revival. Because we become blessed in some area, and it doesn't have to be just in material things, but in are blessed in a lot of different areas, and some kind of security or safety. And we feel good about that, and we equate that with things being right. There's a lot of security that we have today. And we call 911, hopefully somebody will come reasonably quickly, but we have secure houses, we have cars, we have, you know, we have some self-defense. We live in a stable country where there's not a lot of danger of war or attack. We have good medical care right at hand, and you know, just call and we can get help really quick. There can be a lot of sense of security, and that's not a bad thing.
Sure.
Yes.
Right.
Sure.
But it can be a risk factor when you think about creating a need for revival.
That's right.
Because all those things have an impact on us. They're not wrong in themselves. They're things we desire, and we don't desire. We're not desiring a bad thing. But if you look across human history and you look at human nature, you can see a picture where they can be dangerous to our soul. Sister Judith mentioned about the prosperity of America. I'm not sure that there's as much prosperity and riches in America as there used to be. And we may be facing some times where we won't have nearly as much. But overall, she's correct. We live in a very rich country. And we have a lot of material blessings. And that can reduce our need or feeling of dependence on God.
Amen.
It can make us feel more independent. It can encourage pride. We can spend a lot of time, I suppose, talking about that this evening. But I think that you get the idea there, somewhat of what I'm talking about. So let's think a little bit about the need for revival. Why do we need revival? The first area that we really need revival for is to avoid personal loss in a spiritual sense.
Amen.
We need revival for ourselves.
Yes, amen.
We need revival for the health of our own soul.
Yes.
We need revival for the relationship of our own soul with God. Revival involves change. Everybody comfortable with change?
No.
Nobody's comfortable with change. Revival involves some improvement. Some change in focus.
Yes.
Some correction.
It's true.
And the Bible tells us, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Yeah.
Involves some correction. Involves some restoration. Some change and shifts in our focus. It's a protection to our own spiritual well-being. That's the first area of revival. We're going to talk about the need for revival. You know, the Bible tells us one soul is worth more than all the world.
Yes, amen.
Our soul, our personal soul, is incredibly valuable. It's incredibly important. We need revival to protect spiritual life.
Yes.
In ourselves. The correct conditions of decay or neglect or danger. To be able to hear from God about our own needs. To open our eyes to ourselves. Areas of weakness, areas of blindness that could become a big problem. So revival, we have a need for revival to help with those situations.
That's
That we don't end up where we're poor and miserable and blind and we don't even know it.
True.
We're unaware of our need. And it's something that's just happening to us incrementally. And we're not even aware that we have a need. So we need revival to avoid personal loss, personal failure in our own spiritual life. Another need for revival, I believe, that follows out from that is to be able to reach out to others.
Yeah.
The Bible examples of revival and historical examples of revival, where do they start with? Does they start out in the world around us? Revival tends to start in the church and to move outward from there. One of the first casualties, I believe, whenever we are in need of revival is our reaching out to others. We become internally focused, personally focused, just maintaining our vision to reach out, to influence other people, to be a light in the world around us. We may start to believe that nobody wants to hear the message. And that's not hard to do in the world we live in today, because a lot of people don't want to hear the message.
It's true.
And we run into a lot of those people, and we know that a lot of people don't want to hear the message. At least today they didn't want to hear the message. But if we come to the place where we say nobody wants to hear the message of the gospel, then I think we need to think about our faith in God. Because there's always some that want to hear the message.
Yes, amen.
That's right.
And God didn't say that if you live in a day and age where you don't think anybody wants to hear the message, you don't have to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
No, he didn't.
So one of the first casualties of when we really need a revival that we could identify, I think, is we don't have that much of a desire to reach out to them. Not really reaching out to the world around us. We're not really that light. So when revival comes, it starts with us. Typically it starts from the lives and hearts of God's people, and from there it flows out into the community around us. Now when we think about revival, and we talked about avoiding personal loss and correction, and one of the reasons why it's so important that we are revived and that we have a strong relationship with God, and then we have a testimony that's able to reach out to others, is because there's something fundamentally important about that testimony. And I'd like you to think for a minute, just to illustrate that. Let's say you have over here on one end of a line, you have someone that's unsaved and without God. And over here on the other, you have a person that's a Christian, that's living a holy life. And, you know, that's in stark contrast to a person that's out in sin and living without God. As you bring those people closer to the middle, they start to appear more similar. You don't see as obvious of a difference. And when there's no difference between those people, there's no conviction. There's no understanding of wrong. So you have a lot of people today that they don't see themselves as a terrible sinner without God. They have a profession of Christianity. They're doing some good things. They live a pretty good moral life. So they start to see themselves as closer to the middle. If you have a person that's a Christian, but they're not really all that close to God, and they don't really have a vibrant testimony, and they're not really that light that's set on a hill, and that person that's unsaved can say, I'm not that much different than that person that's going to church. I don't really know what they're talking about when they say I need to change all this in my life. I need to make this drastic change. We need, if we're going to be able to really reach out to others, we need to be able to have a testimony of a person that loves God with their whole heart.
No.
That's serving God with their whole heart.
Yes, Lord.
That's living the Word of God out in their life. And it's affecting the relationships and the people around them. And there's some power that goes along with that.
Amen.
A revival in our hearts gives us that renewed focus, gives us more power with God. I believe it influences the people around us. It improves our marriage. It improves our relationship with our family, with our coworkers, the people we come in contact with. It's a more powerful testimony.
Yes. Help us, Lord.
When we experience real revival. Now, before it gets too late, how do we get revived? You know, what's the process of revival look like? What happens? I believe that the first step in revival is relationship improvement.
Yes.
It involves improving our relationship with God.
Yes.
If you really want to get revived, you have to work on your relationship with God. You can have the best intentions about, okay, I'm going to do more things, I'm going to be this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to discipline my life more, I'm going to... all these plans. But I don't think a lot of them are going to really work well for you until you work on the relationship with God. So we need to either fix or improve our relationship with God, our communication with Him. Talking to Him, hearing from Him, His Word, talking to Him in prayer and just in an attitude of communion with God, of being with Him, listening for His words to us. It's one thing to say, okay, well, I spent my time in prayer this morning, excuse me, but I'm really listening to God for what He wants out of my life.
Yeah, that's right.
As we start to work on a relationship with God and improving our relationship with God, I believe we can see Him in action more. We can see Him interacting with us. Feel His presence. Understand the advantage we're getting from time spent communicating with Him. We can start to feel a greater dependence on God. See our needs more, our need for God. It becomes a more real need where, you know, I took a quick trip to Atlanta on Tuesday and I was gone Tuesday night, came back last night. So I was away from my wife and children for like 36 hours. I don't like to do that. I like to be there and be home, not have to be away at night. You know, there was a sense of need. I missed them. I was separated from something that's very, very dear to my heart. And I called and I talked to them. It wasn't like I was out of communication. I couldn't know where they were or what was going on, but I was away. And I felt that need. I felt that lack. Can we be away from God for a while and not really feel it that much?
Right. Help us, Lord.
We should feel that.
Amen.
We should know something's missing. We shouldn't be able to go throughout our week and, I'm going to talk with God and spend some time on Sunday morning at least. We can't live our life that way.
Amen.
And really have that relationship with God that we need.
Amen.
It has to be real. It has to be continual. It's something that we should be dependent on, feeling God's presence, of spending time with God. Our lives can be very busy sometimes. We have a lot going on. But it doesn't take a lot of time to spend some time with God.
Amen.
We can do that all the time. We can be at work or doing a lot of things and take a moment and just express our need for God.
Amen.
But whenever we think about being revival, our relationship with God needs to be a focal point of our life. And that can be strengthened. That can be built up. And that can be improved. Our life should not feel complete without His smile of approval. And His presence with us. And I believe what feeds off of that strengthening relationship is increased faith. The closer we are to God, the more we interact with God, the more we feel our need for God, the more dependent on God we are, the more faith we're going to have in God.
Amen.
And, you know, without faith, what happens? It's impossible to please God.
Amen.
So if we want to be revived, we need to be revived in our relationship, we need to be revived in our faith. We need to start trying to block out some of the faith killers. This world is awash in unbelief. It's all around us. It's ridiculed. The idea of belief and faith in God is ridiculed. It's not hard to destroy faith in this day and age. We have to put aside some distractions and some entertainments, maybe. We have to really work on our relationship and allow that to inspire our faith in God more.
Amen.
To see Him answering our needs.
Amen.
To see Him more clearly as He is, in His power and His authority and His majesty, as a pure and holy and loving God. To be more comfortable claiming His promises. It shouldn't be that, you know, unless we're really in bad shape, we don't think about calling on God and claiming His promises.
Yeah.
That can be real to us. That can
be,
as we are revived, we'll be more comfortable claiming the promises of God. And I believe that if we follow that process and we are more revived in our relationship and in our faith, we'll be revived in our works.
Amen.
It'll be easier to be used by God to help others.
Yes, amen.
We'll be more willing to use our time in God's service. We'll be more available to God. It'll be more rewarding to us to be involved in spiritual things. We'll be proud of our God. And we should be proud of our God. We serve a great
amen.
God.
Amen.
It should be a thrill to us to tell other people about God. Want everyone to know Him. It'll help us to overcome self and self-focus, selfishness, because we're revived in our work for God. So who needs revival? Young people? Yeah, if we could just see the young people get revived, then they could carry the church forward. How about the middle-aged people? Yeah, it says middle-aged people, they would just get revived. They could do a lot more for the Lord. They got time and energy yet. They can. What about the old people? Can they still be revived? You know, Jesus said at different times, "O ye of little faith, how is it that ye have no faith? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Our nature tends to forget, to relax, to rest on the successes of yesterday. We get too tired. We get discouraged sometimes. We get worn. We get hurt. We get complacent. That's the tendencies of humanity. The track record of humanity is that happens time and time again to people that don't expect it to happen to them and maybe never even see it coming. I believe we all need revival.
Yes, amen.
I need revival.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Our vision needs to be renewed.
Amen.
We need to be challenged. We can't just accept the status quo.
It's true.
That I've reached where I need to be, and now I've just got to make it the rest of the way until I die. I believe the Lord still has things for us to do. He wants us to be revived. And our relationship with God needs to be renewed. Our faith needs revived. Our works need revived. Do you need and want revival? May the Lord help us, each and every one. I don't believe there's any of us here that can just say, I don't need revival. I'm close enough to the end that I don't have to worry about it.
No.
I've done so much for the Lord for the last however many years that I've put in my time. That's not God's plan. May the Lord help us to have that vision of the need for revival and have the determination to do what it takes to be all that God wants us to be. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
If you'd like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 158. Sang says, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I thank God we can be that through the help of the Lord, not of ourselves. We can't be perfect in ourselves, but we can be pleasing to God. You read a verse, without faith it's impossible to please God. We can please God. We can be perfect to God. There's not a one of us in here, even if you're young, that doesn't realize that it takes some work to keep things at the top notch of things, as he mentioned at the beginning of his message. You can buy a brand new vehicle, come off the lot, there's not a scratch, a dink, nothing wrong. You know what? In a few years, you're going to need tires, you're going to need brakes, it's going to need to be cleaned multiple times. In a few years, it's not going to look like it did when it sat on the showroom floor. But we need to do our best to keep it up, to keep it maintenance, to keep it running. Everything in life, we know, everything in life, as I said, even young people here recognize everything in life we have to work at to keep it up. Our salvation is no different. As he brought the message, I thought sure he would go to the 10 virgins. The Bible says in those 10 virgins, all of them, every single one of them, slumbered and slept. We get weary. We get tired. That's why the Bible says, he that endureth until the end. You have to endure to the end. The same shall be saved. But there was five of them that kept oil on their lamps. I often mention sometimes revival is a good time to get our oil refreshed. To spend that time, Lord, I want to draw closer to you. Verse 1, Lord, I long to be perfectly whole. Lord, help me to get back to where maybe at one time I was. Not that we've sinned, not that we've went away from God. But as he said, our daily lives, we have busyness all the time. Whether you're in school, whether you're working, whether you stay at home, you're constantly busy. And the devil will see to it to keep you busy if he can, to keep you off your knees, out of reading the Word of God, keep you out of church. He will do everything he can to keep you distracted. Sometimes I thank the Lord, he can say, hey, he taps us on the shoulders, hey, you need to get back. You need to get back. So as we read or sing the next two verses, there's a need. You say, well, I don't want to come to an altar. Just bow your head right there where you are and say, Lord, I want to get back closer. I want to be more for you what I can be by the grace of God. As we sing verse 3. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter. Thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou'st never said so. Now wash me and I shall be whiter. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Thou wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Amen.
I appreciate each one being in service.
Yes.
I always like to say, the Lord says, my word will not return unto me void, so help us that the word doesn't lay here. As we leave, we don't leave it here. That it can go with us and be a blessing. Brother Ken said Wednesday night, he says he was thinking about the message on Sunday. Lord, help us to allow this to stay in our mind. Again, we appreciate each one being out. And we want to pray for the saints as they travel back home.
Yes.
God give them safety. We have something to eat across the street. Everyone's welcome to come over. So I always like to say this. So don't, if you want to go home, those that are traveling anyway, go across, grab something to eat. But you're more than welcome to stay as many as you like. Tomorrow night, Friday night, 7 o'clock service again. And I'll be much in prayer for that. And of course, Saturday is 6 o'clock and Sunday is 10 and 6. There's a plate up here, there's a basket up here. If you have a love offering you'd like to share with them, that'll be up here all week. Anytime you can put something in the offering. There's nothing else. Brother Greg, can I have you dismiss us, please?